Nick and Mark from the Buds. We're recording on the Sunday of the Elite Eight. Currently watching this Kentucky versus Auburn game. What's going on, Mark?
Not much. Always good to pay respects to Jim Nance.
Always good.
We're standing on his shoulders. He got us. He opened doors for us.
He would record an episode per month as a weekly podcast, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's a leisurely man.
Yeah, he'd approve. So we're back after another, you know, hiatus, but good episode coming up. We're going to talk about some news and notes, recap our favorite five albums of the year so far, and then talk about this new Billy. Is it Eilish or Eilish?
I think it's Eilish. I just today noticed that there's that I.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about her. Superstar, mega teen pop star, Billie Eilish, at the end of the episode. Before we get into that, though, follow us on Instagram, EarbudsCast. Follow us on Twitter, EarbudsCast. And then at Spotify, at the Earbuds. We need followers. We need that clout. All right. Let's kick it off. News and notes. Mark, Lil Uzi Vert is back.
Yeah, it seems like he soft retired not that long ago. So,
yeah, I feel like it was just 3 or 4 months ago he was all over the internet saying he's done with music and retiring, full-fledged.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if... Well, I mean, there's obviously some issues with that album release. It's hard to tell if they're kind of trying to spin it into some sort of viral marketing or something, or if this is all like... earnest, but I would just like for the drama to end and for them to release the album.
Yeah, kind of agree. I like Lil Uzi Vert, but this is going on a little too long. So yeah, as you said, his album Eternal Ataki was supposed to be released, but he's been having a bunch of issues with his record label, Generation Now, which is I think headed up by DJ. Yeah, DJ Drama.
Yeah, it's like a weird organization thing where I think DJ Drama like only works with like Uzi's like his only client or something.
Oh, really?
I think it would be, I don't know, it's something weird, but
weird.
Yeah.
So as of like Wednesday, Uzi popped up on Roc Nation's roster on their website.
Oh.
So there's a Yeah, I don't know. There's been a long speculation he was going to like leave to go to Roc Nation, and then he appeared on. He like deleted all of his Instagrams. I'm excited for it to be over. But did you listen to the song Free Uzi?
Not yet, because it was okay. Just on SoundCloud, right?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
I don't listen to SoundCloud only.
You wait for it to go on a regular streaming service.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I support my record labels.
You have to support the Hulu Spotify bundle.
Yeah.
Make sure you get your money's worth.
Get my $10 a month.
Please. Yeah. Free Uzi's solid, though. I'm kind of interested to see like where this goes, I guess, after this situation seems to be past everyone. So, whatevs. Let's move on to another one of our favorite rappers, Valley. Did you listen to his new single titled, what is it, St. Louis?
That's not his. He's just a feature on it.
Oh, right? I thought it was his song.
No.
Oh. Hold on. Real life. We're big time podcast boys over here.
Yeah. I guess I should have responded to that text.
No worries.
St. Louis featuring Valet. Oh, wow. I also learned that it's pronounced Valet.
Is it?
Today. I'm learning a lot today. Yeah. By 96 featuring Valet.
All right, well.
It's produced by Chase the Money, though.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Chase the Money?
Yeah.
All right, move on. Valet released a single, he's on a feature of a single.
Yeah, album's coming, though. He's retweeting. He's enjoying himself on Twitter.
He's very much so.
In that stage of just teasing people.
Basically. Yeah, he's just sending cryptic tweets all over the place, and it's leading me to be a little anxious. Just like give us the album, give us some bangers.
Have you seen the voting for the 10th spot for the freshman list on XXL?
No.
It's there's so many people in just for this just 10th spot that like DaBaby is on there, Gunna, Juice WRLD, like so many people that you would assume would just be on the list outright. Megan Thee Stallion,
Rico, so people Nasty, get to vote on Jack the 10th West. Spot.
Yeah, and Valet is on there, which is kind of why it floated across. That's why I remembered it. But
have they released the other 9?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on here that
they
I would imagine
should, all at once
should be in
but
the.
I think that implies that yeah, Boogie is voting eligible. I think that implies that all these people have not made the list already.
Right?
Which is pretty wild that there's a lot of names on there.
Yeah, go vote for Valet.
Yeah.
People of earbuds.
Yeah, Tierra
Rico
West
Nasty,
is on there.
Sweetie.
Shaq West is on. Like, how? What more does he have to do?
Yeah, what does he have to do to get on the freshman list? He had like the biggest song of the year last year.
Yeah.
You'd imagine he'd be on there.
So maybe if there, I don't know. But then that's a dumb voting system if you're voting for people that are already on there.
Yeah, I can't answer that. I don't really understand how the freshman list works.
Yeah,
I just pop in when they release it and then say,
okay. Other day and was kind of confused by it. But.
Huh.
So yeah, go vote for Valet. And his Yorkies.
Shout out Yorkies, the official dog of rappers.
Dude, anytime, it's awesome. Anytime there's like something written about him in like a magazine or something, his dogs are always mentioned.
Oh, yes. I hope he brings the dog out at Pitchfork. That would be, that's the dream.
Yeah, little Union pup. Union crowd, pup action. Union
crowd surf the pup. Last bit of news here before we hop into a couple of segments is on the Malcolm Gladwell and Rick Rubin podcast, Broken Record. They interview like producers and artists, and they usually talk about how like songs get made, whatever. So they had Questlove on this week, and he was telling a story about how he was DJing a party at the White House, and Obama requested Pop That by French Montana. And I just want to comment and say, like, nothing but respect for my president.
Yeah, that's fun. That's cool. Humanizing, like, news story. I didn't know. That's a really weird pairing, though. Malcolm Gladwell and Rick Rubin having a podcast together.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting back to the actual news item, that's cool. It's like, you know, having a president, you know, criticize him for what he did, but didn't do whatever. But just like a guy that, you know, you can tell like enjoys music. That's cool.
Yeah, right. That's pretty neat.
Cool. He seems to have somewhat of a. interest in pop culture.
Quest, like, I'm gonna need you to play Pop That.
Yeah. The whole quote is funny too.
It's really funny. Yeah. What is a song that if you were at like a adult party that you would request similar to this? So let's say you're like your parents are hosting a barbecue or something, and you're like, we really gotta turn it up. We're losing people.
Oh. That's a tough one, Nick.
Is it Do You Love Me by Young Thug?
I mean, that would certainly send people towards the doors, I think. Yeah, I think that would elicit a similar reaction from Questlove if Barrio had requested that.
Right?
Play Do You Love Me. We're going to get through this segment without doing a bad Barack Obama impression also. So
yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself. We're just getting back into this. Oh, Auburn.
Earbuds.
Tie game, minute 20. All right, fuck it. We're done with news and notes. Let's get into singles of the week. I guess we should drop the one S. It's just a single of the week. We just want to comment on Modest Mouse. They released a single called Poison the Well. They haven't released music for a while. So this is, I believe, their first single for what is to be an upcoming album release this year.
Yeah. They're touring. I think they're the openers for the Black Keys new tour.
Yeah, it sounds right.
So, yeah, they're getting, dipping their toes back in the music making water, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
It's,
I don't
it's
think.
It's an enjoyable Modest Mouse song. I don't think it's.
Yeah.
They've got some, like, very, I won't say slept on or underrated. They're, like, very, like, beloved in the indie community, but. Because a lot of people know them as just, like, the guys who did Float On, but they have some fantastic albums, so. I'm looking forward to a new album. Their last one just was fine, but I enjoy them.
That is exactly where I sit on the Modest Mouse fence in this single. It's just like, cool. Hopefully they make a good album. I'm intrigued. Yeah. I'm intrigued by this song. It doesn't suck. So see what happens.
Right.
Which I, hopefully, you know, future weeks we have more like interesting singles we touch on, but we just wanted to make note of Modest Mouse releasing a single, and yeah, not everything has to be hip-hop focused on this podcast. Usually we just put a bunch of ratchet shit in the first 45 minutes.
It's, you know, it's what us millennials like.
The millennials!
We love the ratchet.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, this is going to be, I think, laid a little more bare in our top five of the quarter segment, which we're doing because we just haven't done episodes and still want to talk about these releases, but not a lot of fantastic releases so far this year.
No, there haven't been a lot of things released this year that I've been like really amped on. Last year at this same time, we had my top two albums of the year came out from last year in the first 3 months.
Astroworld came out that early.
Astroworld did not come out that early. I guess I lied about so three of two of my top four.
Like, embarrass you already?
No, I think. Well, question. I was thinking about Saba came out early, and yeah. Jeff Rosenstock came out early.
Yes.
In the first 3-4 months of the year, and right now it's like just things aren't very good.
Yeah. We gotta get.
Oh, hit that.
Get this springtime music hitting.
Yeah. Okay. So let's touch on. So why have you been so is there anyone that's like disappointed you so far, or are you just like, wow, there hasn't been anything amazing yet?
I haven't been disappointed by anything. I do like these albums that we're going to be talking about and ranking. But it's just like I haven't been just floored by anything. And there has been, it seems like multiple. Like, each month we've gotten at least one or two new music Fridays where just, like, nothing comes out. And it's, like, a single or something that I'm listening to at my desk instead of just a handful of good albums.
Yeah, ditto. The first couple weeks of the year were tough. But there are probably five or six things I really enjoy. Maybe seven.
Yeah. I mean, I these five albums I enjoy.
All right, what's your number five then?
Yeah, let's just kind of slowly get into it, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it. What's your number five favorite of the year?
I just quick qualifier. So I like them, and this is coming from Q1 being like gross, like January through February weather. So these are albums that I enjoyed in like the gross, like hellscape Chicago winter.
Yeah, which like it's March 31st like, and it is 20 degrees outside right now.
Yeah, so it'll like by the end of the year, these will have like slid all around, and I'm sure a couple will remain on a top 10 list, but we'll see. Number five, a recent release, 2 Chainz, Rapper Go to the League.
Okay.
This is a content choice. There was like a few number fives that I wanted to put on here, but I did want to touch on our boy 2 Chainz.
Okay, what did you he is not in my top five, but I very much enjoy that album.
Okay, so I'm glad I included it
Yeah.
because as a big 2 Chainz stan podcast, we have to touch on him.
We do.
I liked so it's interesting that this is being hailed as his most personal album, like by Miles and stuff, and that's how it's written up. And I think it probably still is his most personal, but his last album, Pretty Girls Like Track Music, got very personal at times. That was more towards the end of it. This one, I starts out very personal, and then it just kind of like loses focus a little bit, I think. I don't know. I enjoyed it. It's a different 2 Chainz for sure, and it's cool to see a rapper like tackle the topic of like student athletes and stuff. But yeah, it's good. I don't see it remaining in my top 10. I enjoyed it. I haven't like gone back to listen to it a whole lot though.
I've gone back to listen to it like maybe two, three times.
There's not
I did
like
not pick up on why do people think it's his most personal? Is that a thing that's going around on the internet?
yeah.
Really?
Is the first few songs are like fairly personal, and then like the NCAA one kind of works as that too, because he was a student athlete.
Yeah,
So,
that's fair.
oh, that guy fouled out with 0 points.
Tough.
Yeah,
See, I
it's
feel like
just not
this
his
was his
stuff.
most commercial album.
That's got to be one of the boats. There's not like one what there's like there's
The
not
song
one
with
that's
Ariana
gonna
Grande?
yeah I don't is that gonna be on the radio though all summer? I could see it being, but it doesn't seem like it will be,
No, you're probably right.
because I think 4 AM and Big Amount are both gonna be bigger than any songs off this album.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Those songs had a pretty long run in everyone's minds. NCAA will get a little bit of run. Otherwise, I
I
think we're.
do really like the song with Kendrick. My
Yeah,
Rock
song
Hit a
with.
Lick, yeah.
Yeah, Kendrick is really nice on that song. Good feature. And I mean, the Ariana Grande song for me is fun because she like interpolates the. Oh God, we haven't done this in so long. My brain is melting. What does she interpolate on that song? Like on the former 2 Chainz, the other 2 Chainz song.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I know what you're alluding to.
Oh,
Uh-oh.
Christ.
Meltdown.
All right, whatever. We're moving on. Ariana Grande's chorus basically takes a bunch of other 2 Chainz lyrics from his like first or second album, and it rocks. That's cool for all the 2 Chainz OGs. Okay.
Enjoyable album.
Yeah.
I liked it. Nothing world shattering, but you do
My
you.
number five, I imagine, is also on your list, but we'll see. Obviously. My number five is Better Oblivion Community Center
That's a good
by
album.
Better Oblivion Community Center,
Yeah.
which we've touched on, I think, on our
Yeah, we've
one
mentioned
of the
it.
two podcasts we did this year, so we didn't have to sit talk about it for a while. But it's a kind of to your point, the gross weather. It's a very chill, like calm album. It's nice acoustics, some good guitar, great vocals. Just a chill album. I've enjoyed it a lot so far.
Yeah, I'll put a few more thoughts in when it comes up on my list.
Sounds good. All right. Let's snake this. I'll go four. I'll do my number four. All right, my number four is Stuffed and Ready, which is the album from Cherry Glazer. They're a really dope indie rock band. They shred. I like everything they do. We just saw them live like a month ago, which has something to do with this Yeah, we saw them at Pitchfork 2 years ago where we just missed them. We saw like the end of one of their sets. I really enjoy them. That's all I really have to say about that album. It shreds.
Yeah, it's a good...
Daddy is a very fun song.
Punkish rock album.
Yeah, that punk was, rock.
I was flip-flopping between 2 Chainz and Cherry Glazer, so we're on a similar wavelength there.
Yes, sir.
All right, my number 4 is Assume Form by James Blake.
Ooh.
I believe talked about this last episode, so I'm not going to go on it too much. It's a good James Blake album. He's kind of happier in this one, which is cool. But it's still a James Blake album, so it's still very good winter music. Just a fantastic Andre 3000 feature.
Yeah, the Andre 3000 feature is really sick.
So my number 3 is an album we have not touched on, because I think it released after our most previous episode, When I Get Home by Solange.
Oh.
Initially did not click with me at all, and I was flabbergasted as to why people were just like losing their minds over it. But I listened to it like a few more times because it's a easy listen, and it's more of a, it's very much like a just a mood and sort of a vibe than an album. And once you like get over, there's a lot of repetition, and once you kind of are fine with that, it's very enjoyable and like very cool. I like it. Yeah. It's
how does it compare to her first album?
So her first Seat at the Table is like very much more straightforward as an album. This is kind of a little more abstract and like tougher to parse, but once I kind of accepted that, enjoyed it a lot.
Okay. I have not listened to the Solange album, so I can't really comment on that. That is the one album that's come out this quarter that has escaped me that I'm like, I really got to listen to that.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I enjoyed it.
Cool. My number 3 is Heard It in a Past Life by Maggie Rogers.
Sure, sure.
I very much enjoy her. She is what she is. I don't think she's ever going to like blow you away with something, but it's like very, very calm, chill indie music. There's been a lot of pressure on her, obviously, because of like the way she came to be with like Pharrell fighting her at like her like college final sort of thing, and then signing to him and then coming out this album. But I really like it. It's very good.
Yep.
I don't really have much else to say. It's like hard it's to. Solid, it's just like a very solid indie album.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, and have that stayed in the rotation.
Yeah, my number 2 is "Remind Me Tomorrow" by Sharon Van Etten. Okay. And similarly, it shreds. It's very pitchforky, which. During like this really disgusting time of winter is like nice when they give you like moody punk rocky albums to listen to. So yeah, I've enjoyed Sharon Van Etten's album a lot.
That's interesting. So I much prefer the Maggie Rogers album to the Sharon
really?
Van Etten album. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's, I really don't know. I think just like whatever,
personal
whatever
taste.
Maggie's doing is clicking more with me.
Maggie! She's about to go on a hella crazy festival season run.
Oh, yeah.
She screams midday music festival.
She's rocking that 10-point font hard.
Yes.
With posters.
Yeah, she's the Shaq.
That would be a delightful like 2 o'clock set.
Right? It would be nice.
I'm kind of bummed that Pitchfork didn't nab her, but
oh, bad foul.
Okay. So.
Watch this. It's really difficult to watch this game. I bet on this, and I'm just like, let's fucking go, Auburn.
It's a loose episode. We're just
Very loose. We're just getting back in the swing of things. All right, what's your number two then?
Future, which I think I've talked about like a lot already, so I'm just gonna move on from that.
Okay.
And then my number one is Better Oblivion Community Center.
Oh, you're number one,
dude.
Why is it so high on your list from the first couple months?
I've just been giving it a lot of play recently, and it's the melodies are there. There's a good variety of kind of the songs that are in it, where they have some really slower acoustic songs, some more upbeat acoustic songs, and then you've got some where there's just like the electric guitar like comes in and starts ripping. And the songwriting is just very good in itself, where you have just... Cause I do it a lot, listen to this a lot in the background at work, but there's just certain like lines now that where I've listened to it enough where it kind of pop out and I like catch my ear and I go, oh, like that's interesting. It's like a very personal album, that also kind of reflects on some of the modern politics going on today, but not in a super invasive way.
Yeah, it's not really in your face.
Yeah. I think the lyrics are like, are gonna age very well. It's very well written. I think is that's why it's at the top of my list.
I mean, that's totally fair. I think what I need to do is listen to it a couple more times, maybe pick up on some of the lyricism, because for me it's just like, oh, this sounds really pretty. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoy it. But I'll have to get back into it and pay a little closer attention to what's going on. My number one for me, or sorry, do you have something else to say?
Oh, no, I was stifling a sneeze.
Oh. Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
My number one is Future, is The Wizard.
Oh.
Yeah, so we have a very similar list of things. And yeah, we've talked about this album, so... I don't think we need to really get into it all that much, but during this really treacherous fucking winter in Chicago, this has been a really nice commute banger for me on the L.
I mean, I know Future is not making music solely for people who live in climates with winter, but that's a good career strategy, is if he just released all his albums in like early January. That music hits then.
Yes, it does. Diamonds on my wrist. We have to go. We'll have to send DM him. Slide into the DMs. Like, hey, we'd like to pitch you on something here.
Yeah. Also, he releases like 3 projects a year. So if he just makes one of them, January release every time.
Yeah. You're the first trimester of the year.
Talking trimesters.
Talking trimesters on the pod. All right, that does it for our five favorite albums of the year so far. Let's get into the main course here. We are going to talk about Billie Eilish, megateen pop star. She released her debut album titled When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Came out this past Friday. She's very popular. So I don't really know how much background really need to get into, but she's seen like a pretty dramatic rise in popularity the last couple of years. She released her first single on SoundCloud when she was like 14 years old. Her older brother is one of her like co-writers and producers, so they're just like a tight-knit family. And to be honest with you, I'm not a huge pop person. Like, I don't follow the come up of pop artists. I like hear them once they get to like the radio. I'm not really like into the weeds of like the rise like we are for like hip hop and indie acts. Like sometimes I feel like you and I have a pretty good tune on like up and comers, but for pop that's very different. So I guess what did you kind of make of this, since this is well, not really something
I'm glad you mentioned that cover. Because I think this is going to be an interesting discussion, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was familiar with the name and had like seen it around, but I don't think I had like heard any of the songs even until a Friday when the album released, and I was like, oh, like a Billie Eilish album, I guess I'll listen to it. And, like, just like sort of knowing that she was like a, you know, a pop name. And then I clicked on her page and it was 33 million monthly listeners on Spotify. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, what?
Yeah.
And then so I kind of did like a look into like the background. I was like, wait, who, like, what is this? And I was like, oh, yeah, I was absolutely kind of unaware. But I like the album. It's not what I was expecting at all. Just knowing if you were like 17-year-old pop star with 33 mil a month Spotify listeners, not what I would expect.
Yeah, you would probably would expect more like Dua Lipa, or like that kind of vibe. And I guess for me, yeah, like I haven't really heard a lot of her music, but I'm aware of her imagery, which is very like dark and ominous looking. Like, I know she's been on a song with Khalid, and she's got, like, other singles she's released, and, like, the imagery is always, like, very dark, but I've never put that, like, two and two together through music, so
yeah, this is an interesting... spiders are heavily involved.
In yeah, it's an interesting videos. Listen. So, like, maybe let's talk on that first. Like, what did you kind of make of her persona that she has and how that aligns with her music?
So, I just want to, like, off the cuff say... off the bat, I guess I enjoyed the album a lot. It's like well done and it's like cool, like dark music. I think the more interesting discussion is gonna be in kind of how she fits into the music landscape, because she's you touched on like she's dark and edgy and it has these like very gothic lyrics, and I think you always have like an artist like that or a group of artists that appeals to each generation in that way. Like Odd Future, for art, like kind of our generation. We were a little just sort of aging out of it at the time, but they like come to mind where it's like just like this edgy like aesthetic, like dark and gritty and stuff, but like 33 million monthly listeners is so much for that role. So I think that is like she's like bringing that into like a very much larger role in the pop arena, which is interesting.
And I
think it's like sort of reflects on like the image that Gen Z already has online pretty well, because their memes are like very like nihilist and like fucked up.
Yeah, no, I like absolutely she fits the mold of like the current teenager very well. And like what I wrote down when I was first listening to this was she's like somewhere in between Lana Del Rey and Lorde. And then when I started like reading up on all this stuff, like there were other comparisons like to that, and I was like, oh, all right, maybe, you know. I guess that's not a super hot take, but
those are the best two where it's like that.
Right. They kind of
like aesthetic, but like just like pushed much further.
Right. She definitely, Billie Eilish, that is, pushes that edge a little bit farther than either of those artists. Those artists give off the appearance, but their music isn't always.
Yeah.
That, whereas Billie has some songs that are like very, like overproduction, like intentionally ominous and like lo-fi sounding.
Yes, yes, that's a good summation of it.
Which You Should See Me in a Crown is I enjoy that song. It is a banger, but the like contrast imagery is all sorts of fucked up in the music video for that.
I haven't watched any of the videos yet.
Oh, so the music video is her standing in a crown with spiders crawling out of her mouth.
Oh, yeah, that, I mean, going back to the Odd Future,
right,
the Yonkers video is He's eating. What is he eating? He eats something. It's like
I don't
a
know.
centipede or something. There's like a bug crawling on his arm the whole time, and then he eats it.
That's gross, but very on brand. Okay, so before while we're talking about You Should See Me in a Crown, are you aware of how this that song got made and like what it like the inception of that song?
Well, I know that this, so with this is like an interesting part, I think. So the title is like a reference to like Sherlock.
Yes.
Like Moriarty says it, I guess.
Yes.
And then going, so there's a song towards the end that like has like references to The Office and stuff, which those are, it's weird because that like conflicts almost with like my view of Gen Z, because those are two very normie shows, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Also, that song with all the Office snippets is called My Strange Addiction,
Yeah,
which
and that's
I,
it. Thank you.
yeah, My Strange Addiction. And it's all the, like, it's a bunch of dialogue from the episode of Threat Level Midnight where they, like, watch Michael's play or movie.
I guess I just didn't realize that The Office was popular even with Gen Z.
I don't know if it is.
She's just memeing. She's
She's just
doing
memeing.
memes.
Yeah. And I
That's
think maybe
fair.
she is a little different because like her family, she's like all of her family are like musicians and actors and she like grew up in LA. So I imagine her like upbringing is slightly different than most of Gen Z too.
That's a good point.
You know, like she's like grown up with songwriters around her, so like her creative, you know, glow up is a little different. But
Well, that so I read, let me pull it up to give proper credit. So this just this blog I found, because I Googled like Billie Eilish Gen Z just to get some like.
Billie
Well,
Eilish,
because I
Gen Z.
wanted to make sure, because I'm dumb and don't understand how generations work, and I wanted to confirm that she actually was Gen Z before I talked about all this.
Fair enough.
But so there's this blog called Culled Culture, CULLED. And they mentioned that. So she, like, was brought up in, like, a very isolated, in a sense, like, she was homeschooled and everything.
Yeah.
But the nature of Gen Z is like kind of all the kids are like that, and then they're interconnected through social media.
Okay.
So it's this weird, she's like paradoxically like isolated from Gen Z, but also like representative of Gen Z because so many of the Gen Z kids are just naturally isolated.
Why is that? I guess that's not really for this
No, yeah, we're getting
podcast
like relatively deep in it. Well, I mean, they have to pay our social security, so we should know a little bit about
Yeah,
that.
we should.
The old person answer is it's the phones.
Oh,
But I there probably is like some truth to social media having like an impact on how they like hang out and stuff, but I don't know. They seem to be doing fine as a whole. Who knows?
yeah, they seem okay.
Yeah. The kids are all right.
Was it too recent of a release to get put in your top five?
Yeah, I just listened to it for the second time this morning. So,
Okay.
well, also, just a quick aside to hammer home how, it is kind of like a not necessarily what you would expect for the mainstream pop sound. Did you see who her tour opener was?
I have not. Who is it?
It was Denzel Curry.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's gonna be a weird show.
I think the tour might be done already, but
Wow.
yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you listening that really enjoy dark, ominous hip hop, similar to dark, ominous pop, listen to Denzel Curry. Yeah, I guess the thing is the music isn't necessarily the same, but the aesthetic, if you will, is very much the same.
So that's what she's, because she's got to be doing arenas, right?
No, she's playing at Aragon Ballroom.
Okay, that makes sense.
In Chicago, which is what, 5,000 people?
I think something like that. That sounds right. It's a bigger venue.
Yeah, I imagine she could have gone a little bit bigger, I guess, but that's probably solid. Like, sell that out and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the most pre-added album in Apple Music history.
Whoa, was it really?
Yeah.
That's really surprising to me.
She's huge, which is, yeah.
Yeah, but like that to me seems like something that Taylor Swift would have gotten.
Sure, yeah.
Or like Ed Sheeran or Bruno Mars or something. Like some crazy huge pop star.
Right, which.
Wow. That's pretty nuts. I would not have put that, I would have lost that trivia question for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
Yeah, what else do you want to touch on?
More to the music point, though. The structure. What do you think of the structure of it, where it kind of, it starts off like the darkest and then sort of like bobs up and down in that and then ends on some nice piano ballads?
I thought it was interesting. I also didn't take the structure of it very like artistically, honestly.
Okay.
And I've only listened to it like 1.5 times. I got through like half of it this morning again. But I mean, most of the songs, to be frank, I thought were kind of very similar in what the lyricism was.
Yeah, it's not like it's super advanced lyrics.
Yeah, like which is not really what pop music is, so I totally get that. But a lot of the songs are, it's not like you're trying to get through like a story or something. It was just like a lot about like love, heartbreak, being teenagers. The one song I will say that definitely opened my ears and brain when I got to it was Zanny. When you see a song on an album titled Zanny, you imagine it's about like a wild night of partying or something like that, right? Especially in hip hop, it's like, you know, the recreational drug of choice, and everyone talks about Zannies. But that song is about like not doing drugs and like being the sober person at a party and like being safe, which I found very interesting.
A little bit of a curveball there.
Yeah. I guess that was kind of my take. What did you think of the flow then and the structure?
I mean, I'm going back, we'll probably stick to the first half of the album. I do think there's where more of the better songs are, but it is, I guess, a smart play maybe to do the more piano-driven songs with just the stripped-down production, because she has, like, an incredible voice.
She does have a good voice.
Yeah, but they just sort of are lacking in general, I guess. I don't know.
How so?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I'm not the target audience, but the piano, like, the last few songs, I was sort of bored.
Yeah. And
that could be from the contrast of songs like Bad Guy, and or it's just the heavy like bass production. Just going to that just leaves you wanting a little more, maybe.
Yeah, it seems to like kind of wane near the end.
But if you want to give a generous artistic interpretation, maybe that's waking up from your dreams and you're sort of just the slow, pleasant wake up.
Mayhaps.
I also read a thing that said she slept in a family bed growing up, which is weird.
Oh, what? She slept with... Oh.
So there, because she does, she, yeah. Having to share a family bed with her parents and brother. Because the album touches on sleep issues. She's, I believe, deals with insomnia. So, you know, maybe there's a cause for those issues.
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, leading back to the title of the album, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Yeah,
Weird
I did not pick up on
situation.
that at all.
But no, I think that's a, if you read the structure of the album more kind of as maybe just like a night's sleep is interesting. I don't know if that's intended, but perhaps you look at it that way. Who knows? I don't have
Perhaps.
much more to say about this album, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, me neither. I'm good. I'm good closing out here.
Yeah.
It's a good album though. Everyone should listen to it. It got pretty good reviews across the board, which I think is really difficult for a rising star.
Yeah, rising pop star. Like somebody's gonna wanna get their chops off and like pan you, but I didn't really see that
It's
happen.
like similar to me, like Cardi B's album last year. And the fact that like you've become so famous that you're and you haven't released an album yet, but you're still so in the music sphere or whatever, you know, of influence, that it's got to be difficult to put together like a good album with no duds per se.
Exactly.
So yeah,
And I
good album.
think Billy did it well.
Agreed. Good album. We're back. We'll record again this week. Thank you for listening. Follow us on all the media platforms. DM us. Follow us. Do stuff. Bye.
See ya.